cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, that's Kygo with Firestone featuring Conrad Soul. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stuff. Lovely. Nice Monday morning music. All right, well, there's lots going on in the world. I see a really interesting story. This doesn't surprise me in the least. But the chief science officer for Pfizer, you know, the guys who are a huge pharmaceutical company, Dr. Mike Yaden, he has said the second wave is fake. It's been based on false positive COVID tests and the pandemic is over. I think that's how most of us are feeling. You know, they're talking about Europe going through its second wave now. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've heard about this. Certain places are locking down again because they're worried about a second wave. Well, that second wave is all about these tests and the number of people they've tested who are positive for the coronavirus but have not got symptoms. So in other words, it's a big panic about nothing. There are no more deaths. The number of deaths is tiny. So it's not a second wave of deaths. It's a second wave of positive tests. And so what? You know, lots of people have herpes, for example, right? You know,
and
you,
we don't judge them.
No, we don't judge them. And once you get herpes, you got herpes, right? So you're positive for herpes. Now, they're going around testing more and more people in Europe for the coronavirus. They're finding that lots and lots of people have it but have been asymptomatic. And now they're talking about it like it's a second wave. Well, not surprisingly, the chief science officer for Pfizer, Dr. Mike Yaden, says the second wave is fake and it's based on false positive COVID tests. The pandemic is done. That's good news. You would think that people would be happy about that. Leanne, you're not on for some reason. Leanne's talking to us and we can't hear her.
Based on what I see on social media more and more, I think, yep, people don't care about this anymore.
It's over,
there's
right?
There's one particular venue in Johannesburg that's in a courtyard.
Yeah.
And it's tons of people squashed together in this mm-hmm. courtyard. I'm thinking, yeah, there's no social distancing here. No one's wearing a mask because they're really, you know, you're in the vibe, you're in the party. I'm thinking, people are fine now.
What do you think of that? Leanne, we couldn't hear you just now.
Yeah, no, I do think that firstly, people are suspicious of any sort of story like you've just told. We don't know who to believe anymore. We now know that there are false stories going around and that governments are hiding things. So who knows? But geez, yeah, there's definitely a relaxation.
No.
And the numbers are going up slightly, apparently.
Well, it's so funny, you know.
But we did expect that.
I was in Umhlanga this weekend, and the place is back to normal. It's the way that it was pre-corona. And of course, there are certain upper limits on the number of people they can allow into a place, which is also stupid, because if you've got 50 people in a place, what's the difference between 50 and 100, really, you know? There's no 1.5 meter social distancing inside a bar or whatever it is. So why are people even bothering? It's just, it's like we're all in this stupid one-act play, which has gone on too long now. The people wandering around with masks on. I mean, it's just unnecessary and stupid. It really is. This coronavirus is not nearly as deadly as everybody thought it was. Most of the people who've died have been 80 or 90 years old. And the evidence is now there for everyone to see. So to carry on flogging this horse is just unnecessary. It makes us all feel silly. It makes me feel silly. I feel silly putting on a mask, I have to tell you. I do it just because I'm not in the mood to argue with people. But it's dumb.
Yeah, it's been interesting seeing, because as mentioned, I've got some property that I'm trying to let. And it's been interesting to see the people who come to view the property. You either get people who are still wearing their masks or you mm-hmm. get people who actually want to give you a hug or shake your hand.
Right.
Oh.
And it's now got to that awkward stage of, are we hugging? Are we shaking hands?
Yeah. Well, what is the protocol there? I mean, what do you prefer? Because I either go for the elbow greeting, but I used to do that before Corona. You know, where you like bump elbows or you'll fist bump rather than shake hands.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not comfortable kissing and hugging and that sort of thing at the moment. No. I'm really not.
You don't like it?
No.
Okay.
Well, sorry, Leanne.
Yeah,
I'm still scrunching my face at the thought that these are complete strangers who are simply coming to view a place who want to hug you. Yeah, what?
Leanne, no, you, no. Leanne is running
now in your life.
It's actually a sex club.
It sounds like it. Next thing she's going to admit, pre all of this, yeah. She was greeting people with a tongue tickling their tonsils.
Yeah, Leanne is like, blah, 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 come here, kiss me.
I was mixing into that. I was mixing into that also my tenant leaving, for instance, and her family being here. And everyone's like, I'm going to miss you. Oh, thank you so much. Give me a hug, that sort of thing.
I'm really not.
Once again, another question.
Yeah, yeah, go.
Your tenant's family wants to hug you goodbye.
Oh.
No, but I've come to know them, you know?
In the biblical sense. No.
Where are the hug parameters? We need to work that out. Look, one morning.
I don't like complete strangers hugging me. I never liked that. So long before coronavirus, I was already social distancing in a manner of speaking, right? I kind of like that waiters and waitresses have a face shield so they don't spit on the food by mistake.
Yeah, but I like that too.
But the rest of this is just, it's starting to feel ridiculous. Please, can we all just admit that we feel a bit stupid? That a lot of this is paranoia.
Well,
I don't really.
I think
also
for
because I haven't had the general, I haven't had influenza because everyone's covering up. So I'm quite pleased with that.
Okay. Sia?
This will sound like a bit of an attack, but to a lot of introverts, I will assume that you are relishing the idea of a mask and shielding yourself. But if you are introverted and you speak softly, damn it, make an effort.
Yeah,
I'm done with trying to hear someone.
Yes.
Well, if you are, and you just speak louder.
I can't help you. You know what? I realized that part of being able to understand people is lip reading.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm not deaf, but you need to see those lips moving. You need to see what that person's actually saying. It's no good if they're behind a mask. I mean, like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've come across that a lot. You need to be 15 times more animated when you're wearing a mask, when you're communicating.
I mean, there was
I did realize that, for instance, one of the couples that came to the property to view, they were wondering whether to park inside in the driveway or in the street. And I was standing in the driveway, and I forgot I had a mask on. And I was going, park inside. Park,
yeah. Park, how are they going to see that?
And they
were
just looking at me.
Stupid. I saw an old couple yesterday. I had breakfast before I headed back to Joburg. And I was sitting at a restaurant, and there was an old couple. I promise you, these two were so old. They were basically about to turn to dust in front of my very eyes.
Oh.
There were cobwebs all over them. These two looked like they were 173 each. A husband and wife, clearly. I mean, lovely that they are still getting out and about, but it took them so long to cross the street, for example, that I think there was a queue of four cars backed up. Just to cross the one side of the street took them forever. You've never seen such a slow old man in your life. So slow.
Shame.
And the old lady had a walking stick. And I mean, listen, I love seeing old people who are still able to move because neither of them was in a wheelchair or any of that stuff. And they were obviously meeting their family. But I thought, you know what? That's great because those people are so fucking old and they're still going out during coronavirus, meeting their family for breakfast, which is obviously what they were doing. And they were getting on with their lives. They were living their lives. I think that's great. That's important. Nothing worse than being stuck in a old age home and you're not seeing anybody that you love and you're becoming steadily more and more isolated, and that's no way to live. That's bound to hasten your trip to the grave.
There's a friend of the family's who lives near my folks. He's never been married or had kids. He's a very highly qualified professor.
Mm-hmm.
He researches all his life and is very well read.
Yeah.
Oh, his Lobola price would be very high.
Very high, yeah.
And we used to have him over every now and then, you know, just to chat, and just listening to the things he has and to pick his mind is amazing. But my dad ran into him after obviously months of not seeing him.
Yeah.
And he has deteriorated so much. And he said he feels like he's been in prison because mm-hmm. he's all alone.
Yeah.
The only little bit of getting out was going to the shop or seeing us. And he's very depressed. It's horrible.
Shame, man.
That's why it's nice to see these older couples getting out and, you know, enjoying
well, that's,
things.
That's
again.
It. I see people reclaiming their lives. And I'll tell you something. This whole year has taught me a lot about how dumb so many of us are and how easily cowed we are. And I was like that in the first. Remember when we were asked by Cyril, it'll be 2 weeks. Remember he said that. We just got to lock down for 2 weeks so we can get the hospitals ready. Remember?
Well, the initial 21 days.
Right. And we were all like, cool, we're in. Let's do this. Now I'm like, please. This whole thing has been bullshit. From my point of view, again, I'm not saying this is true for everybody, but it's been bullshit. Mm-hmm. And there's no way that you can justify having shut down the world. And it's not just Cyril, it's everybody. All the governments of the world panicked. Some of them are still panicking. And all they've done is done enormous damage to society. How many people have thought about, and this is something we cover on the show this week, So What Now? We talk a little bit about the effect of this on people's mental and spiritual well-being. To be so isolated, it's really dangerous. You know, even if you're on video conference apps or you get a call from your family every day or whatever, you can't imagine the damage and devastation that this is wreaking on people who are in old age homes or people who have been completely locked down for 6 months. That is like a prison sentence. It really is.
Yeah.
That's hard, man.
There's that. And then what also saddens me is that there have been a lot of people who've died alone.
Mm-hmm.
Either because they...
Oh, my gosh, I didn't think about that. Oh, yeah.
In hospitals.
Not only in hospitals, but at home. If you think of this old prof.
Yeah.
You know, something could have happened to him and no one would have known.
Yeah.
I recently had a very close death in the family where we didn't know that he had died. And 2 or 3 days passed.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, you've got to count those as what? COVID-related deaths, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Because there is a result of the lockdown, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know a lot of people are talking about this stuff at the moment, but you've got to check on yourself. You've got to make sure you're okay. And mental health is, it's such a big part of all of this.
On the flip side, I was chatting to a friend of mine who says she alone has been invited to 3 weddings in 2021.
Oh, yeah, because you see they're going to be a backlog of weddings now. Because a lot of people would have pushed their weddings out. I mean, who wants to get married in a year like this? We can only have so many people and have to adhere to all these protocols and everything else. I told you about that wedding I went to in March.
Brace yourself. Yeah, I think that was like,
the weekend before lockdown. And they had a dry wedding. In other words, there was no alcohol served. And the venue was very strict about that. And people were really afraid. And it was probably the last outing I did before lockdown. In fact, I know it was. And it was very weird. It was very tense. It felt like, you know, there was this huge cloud hanging over us. And now in retrospect, it was probably a little bit of hysteria. But I even felt like, sure, I better just be careful, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I suppose that's the sensible position to take if you're not sure. And especially at the start of something where there's no information. And we didn't have much information. So things have moved on a little bit. Let's be pleased about that. And the country
Six, 7 months later.
Well, it is opening up. It is waking up. I mean, my sister's boyfriend is a pilot, and he's resuming a much more regular schedule now. So that means that planes are filling up. Good news.
Well, not Mango.
No, clearly not. I mean, not all of them. Some of them have gone out of business. So You know, if you still have a job in that industry, you're lucky. But it's good news that it's all starting to open up. I wonder though if there are people who just never really stopped. In other words, that they just kept on living their life exactly the same way. They just did it in the privacy of their own home and you know, invited people around, or if they went out and did normal things the whole way through this thing. And if you did, I'd love to hear from you. You know, if you're one of those people who just never gave a shit. So here's Fern. Fern says, we had a fabulous long weekend in Mossel Bay and on the garden route. Lots of holiday makers from all over the country enjoying the beaches, restaurants, and the zip line. It was wonderful to feel that energy again, to be busy and productive. Many thanks to those who came out in their droves to support local business. Have an awesome Monday. I love that, Fern. That's great. It's good news.
You know, Fern, I don't know you from a bar of soap, but now I'm starting to see your whole life in my head. Of course a person with the name Fern lives in Mossel Bay.
Exactly.
In a quaint town.
Right.
Fern, don't disappoint me, but I think you make homemade rusks. You make your own, like...
She probably does. Yeah.
Jams. Yeah.
All right, so here's another one. This is from Anushka. She says, we were away this weekend. Immediately when we got to go to our lodge that we were staying at, we noticed that people were not social distancing at the buffet. Some were wearing masks, others not. All the kids were swimming and playing together. We met other couples and we drank and partied together. We're updating our will now because according to COVID, we'll be dead in 14 days. It was great listening to this show. Rest in peace to me. So Anushka taking it all terribly seriously.
Just the idea of a buffet and people just picking at things and whoa.
Yeah. But the thing is as well, that the thing that worries me is, or it's crossed my mind really, is I've been so good at protecting myself all this time. Imagine just some stupid hug or something is what sets it off after all this time of hard work.
Yeah. Leanne, someone's complaining about you here. They said, this is Jay, he says, working in a government department. Work? What's that? In a government department? Good one. Obviously not buying your story.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Carl says, there is more milk on Earth than there is gold. You could fill millions of Olympic pools with milk, but that would be a huge waste.
Yes, it would be.
Yeah.
How you came to that, I don't know.
The whole of Joburg is one big sinkhole waiting to happen, so don't make fun of Cape Town with its tremor. Okay. Apparently in Malmesbury they could feel it, about 50 k's northwest of Cape Town. The earthquake happened 1,600 kilometers away and happened 6 days ago. It's impossible to have that shifting happen only now. It's amazing. I mean, you know, we really are. Like, we live on a knife's edge on Earth. Most of the Earth is too cold or too hot to live in. There are places that are just inhospitable to human beings. And then things like this happen, and they remind you that even with cities and, you know, infrastructure and transport and everything else, you could have a tremor and the whole thing could go to shit. Really could. Anyway, apparently there were people posting from Cape Town, they're marking themselves as safe on Facebook. You know that whole thing?
Yeah.
And then there's that very funny picture, like those garden chairs that have fallen over. And someone says,
Yes.
You know, I hope you're rebuild. Yeah, we shall rebuild. I hope you're okay in Cape Town. That's so funny.
But there were some people who never felt a thing. And a lot of that has to do with how far away you are from the epicenter. And also depends on the rocks over which the movement will propagate.
Yeah.
So it depends on what sort of rocks you're currently living on.
Some people didn't feel it at all.
And some people are living under the rock.
Yeah, listen to this. This is interesting. Yonder says, I never observed the lockdown. The first weekend I had friends over and we had drinks. And once the extension was done for 2 more weeks, I then decided to go out and started seeing someone each weekend and during the week. I've stayed beyond curfew a number of times and also got alcohol anytime during lockdown at okay prices. So Yonder's clearly like one of those people you need to know. You know, he gets shit done and he makes things happen.
He's beyond COVID.
Richard wants to know. Richard wants to know if our show, So What Now Show, is on YouTube yet. No, Richard. This is a perpetual frustration for me. Point. Yeah, I'm actually going to talk. I'm going to talk to them this week because we are having such trouble just getting that onto YouTube, and I don't understand it. It's like it's nonsense. We should be able to have it on there. So I will sort that out.
It can even live on ENCA's channel.
I think it. Yeah, it does, but I'm not sure what their problem is here. So I'll try and figure it out. Anyway, who knew that Cape Independence? Remember, we spoke to someone about Cape Independence a while ago. Who knew that Cape Independence would be a physical separation too? You know, if that fault line actually opened up and let's say the water poured all the way through from, you know, right up the coast near Coburg all the way down to the flats, and it actually separated that sort of Cape Island, that would be hilarious, right? I mean, then there would be an island, a massive big island off of what used to be the Cape Flats.
It'll be Cape Town Island.
That's right. Heinz says, what is better for the company, to download your podcasts from your app or from Spotify? I actually don't mind. We've had equal take-up on both. So if you like our app, use our app. A lot of people do. If you prefer Spotify or Apple Music or any of those, use those. So it makes no difference to us, Hein. Whatever's the most convenient for you. But it's interesting.
Hein's a real supporter. That's awesome.
Thank you, dude. That's really cool. Hein brings up something that made me think of a story I read over the weekend. Apparently, there are a whole lot of Spotify employees who are threatening to boycott. They work for Spotify, right? Spotify has just done this huge deal with Joe Rogan, who's the most successful podcaster in history. And Spotify will own his catalog, and it will be available on Spotify exclusively. So they did this, I think it's a $100 million deal with Joe. And Joe Rogan seemingly has been, throughout his career, interviewing interesting people from all walks of life and people who have, you know, different opinions. And he himself is quite curious and skeptical about a lot of things. So he has, you know, conspiracy theorists and people who say that the pyramids are actually 10,000 years old. And, you know, he'll have anybody on. And this seemingly is not an acceptable way to do a podcast, according to the Spotify employees, none of whom have an audience a fraction of the size of Joe Rogan's. So these Spotify employees, a bunch of woke lunatics in New York, are threatening that if they don't take Joe Rogan off Spotify, that they're going to make the company ungovernable. So I don't understand why Spotify doesn't just fire these people. They can hire another 150 employees. They can't get another Joe Rogan, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if your employees...
They're being very short-sighted, I think.
Yeah, if your employees are so wrapped up in being politically correct and being political, full stop, then they can go work for a political campaign. They shouldn't be working for Spotify. And I think this comes maybe from a conversation that we had not so long ago about, you know, what do you do when people become disconnected from the reason that they work? You don't work because someone owes you a job. You know, you work because you want to be a part of something and you want to earn some money. And if you don't feel like you're part of something and it's not something you want to do, then leave. If you don't think they're paying you enough money, leave. Don't try and change the company to bend it to your will when you're just an employee. Go and start your own company if you're so clever.
I completely agree.
So I think you
got to be starting something.
But if you're Spotify, like, just fire these people. You don't need them. Just get rid of them. You need Joe Rogan. That's what you need. You don't need the Spotify.
It won't be a bigger deal if they fire them.
They should just say to them, listen, guys, it seems that you're unhappy here. You don't like the way we're running things. So please resign. Give them the option. Say to them, you can resign or we'll fire you. But there are 150 people that we're going to be advertising for tomorrow in the newspaper, and none of them will be you. That's what you do. That's how you handle it.
Day by day, I'm glad that you never had a career in HR.
Oh, no, I would be horrible in HR. I'd be like, I'd be talking people out of working for me. Thank God I got Rena. All right, listen, it's that time of the morning where we check in with somebody in an interesting position, and this is Gina Luzzatto. She's been listening to us for a long time. She's living in Rome. Gina, we spoke to you, what was it, around the 10th of March or something, wasn't it? 13th
yeah, morning,
of March.
Everyone.
How are you?
I'm good. Really good. Thank you. Life's pretty normal here, so pretty good.
You're back in Rome?
Yes, I'm back in Rome. I was out of Rome for a while, but I'm back.
I love the story of how you got out of Rome, because you guys had the strictest lockdown at that stage. Italy had skyrocketing deaths, mostly among the aged population. And you wanted to get out of Rome because you were stuck in an apartment on your own, right?
Yep.
And it was horrible. I remember you saying to me you couldn't go anywhere.
Couldn't go anywhere, couldn't see anybody, couldn't talk to anybody. It was terrible. So mentally, I think I was starting to struggle as well. I didn't realize it. And I chatted to some friends. It was probably about 5 days after I spoke to you guys.
Yeah.
And they had left Rome. So it was a family of two small children stuck in an apartment, and they had a holiday home down outside Rome in the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And they managed to get out, and they said, come join us. And
awesome.
I was so terrified. How the hell am I going to get out?
But how could you? Because you needed to have permits to be able to move
exactly,
around.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I said to them, right, you guys go. I was going to test the waters. Let's see if they get caught. If they get caught.
What a great friend.
Well, you know, I had my priorities straight. And then so they were fine. They didn't get stopped at all. And then I said, okay, fine, so I'll go. But I ummed and ahed so much because I thought, geez, if the police stop me, how am I going to explain my way out of this? And I wasn't sure what the repercussions were. And, of course, my Italian at that stage, still now, but even then, was terrible. And I thought, this is going to be a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So made the decision at 5 o'clock the evening before, ordered an Uber for 8 o'clock the next morning, or I think it was like 7. We thought we'll time it to go when we could work because people could still drive out of Rome for work purposes.
Right.
So we thought maybe they would think I'm going to work if I get stopped. And I took a tiny little bag with me so that it didn't look like I was going with a suitcase. I had like a little sort of rucksack thing, and off we went. And it was the most stressful 50 minutes of my life.
But you felt like you were trying to escape from prison, right?
Jesus. I told everybody my escape from Rome. Exactly.
That's unbelievable.
Like you were escaping prison.
And did you
throw in Tom Cruise, and this is the next Mission Impossible movie?
Did you get any police action on the way, or was it uneventful?
No, but we drove past some police, mm-hmm. And I was just like, just go, please don't stop us. And then when we got into the place I was staying at, there were some police also on the side of the road, which nobody stopped. I mean, they were just sort of standing there doing nothing. And yeah, when I got there, I had the biggest cup of coffee I've ever had. I would have had a drink, but it was 8 o'clock in the morning.
God, that's amazing. You know, I'm glad, first of all, to take note that the police in Italy are just as useless as our police. They just stand around doing nothing.
Yeah, that's what I picked up.
I thought it was just ours, but that's really good news, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all,
well, down here.
Did you need to have any documentation on this trip?
Yes. So because you remember, I don't know if you remember when I told you when we had to leave the house, you had to have a sort of like a certification form to say why you were leaving the house.
Yeah.
And so my friend came up with a story that I was going to babysit her children because her and her husband had to work.
Right.
And she's two small four-year-old twins. And so she said, look, we'll just pretend you're the au pair that's going to come and help us because we have deadlines. And so she had given me an email and she had given me a form, which I obviously couldn't print the form, but I had it on my phone. And that was my backing story to get out of Rome if they stopped me, that I was going for work, because that was one of the reasons you could leave your apartment.
And what is it like now? In Rome especially, we know Rome is one of the world's big tourist cities. I was there sort of this time last year. And it's magnificent at this time of year. It's you know, it's still warm. It's beautiful outside. The trees are all nice and green still. Some of them are starting to turn. You know, the autumn is starting to creep in certain places. But you know, all those tourist attractions, the Forum, the Colosseum, are they full of tourists again?
Italian tourists.
Oh, not international.
So there's a lot of Italians that came. So I mean, look. To be fair, if you know any Italians or anything about Italy, it's very hard to tell them to do anything and they will actually listen. So for them to even listen to the rules when it came to the lockdown was incredibly strange that they actually didn't. And then when the summer holidays came, you don't take away an Italian's holiday from them. So summer holidays, people went on holiday, but most of them were local because, of course, there's certain restrictions traveling to certain countries, etc.
Mm.
So there were a lot of Italian tourists that came into Rome. But over the July, August period, it was empty. I mean, you could walk the streets and not see somebody for 5 minutes, which is unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, the last time Rome was that empty was after the Goths sacked it. Seriously.
It was incredibly weird. And I mean, but I took advantage of it and I went and saw all the sites that I could. I actually did a couple of weeks ago a night tour of the Colosseum.
Hmm.
You can easily get tickets. You know, you book the day before, even that day.
That's
you can
amazing.
Go and see everything. It's definitely picked up now because all the Italians have come back that live in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it was a lot quieter after lockdown. People were still nervous. Do they go out or don't they go out? But life is pretty normal, except for masks, of course, that you have to have and social distancing. But restaurants are open. There's no clubs that are open. There's outdoor clubs, they're calling it. But nobody's really going to a club environment. But restaurants, shops, things are normal, except though there are a number of shops that have closed and restaurants, and there's signs that are on their doors that are saying, without the help of the Italian government, we cannot reopen.
Wow. So they're actually asking for help from the government.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of bailout money that's come this way. There's a whole conspiracy theory that the numbers were inflated in Italy because they wanted to get the most bailout money from the EU because, you know, the economy is not great. Really, I don't know. Look, who knows? But yeah, there's been a lot of schemes for people to get money, but places haven't opened like all around the world. You know, businesses have started.
Sure. And what about sports events? Have they started with those again?
So from about 2 months ago, you can play sports again. You could start initially, they sort of phased it in that you can do training and you didn't have to have contact sports, but that has changed. I mean, a friend of mine is involved in the sports industry and she helped organize an annual event where they do with elderly people, funnily enough. I think it's five-a-side soccer tournaments.
Old so people playing five-a-side soccer?
Okay, older people.
Okay. You said elderly. I mean,
well, you know.
Yeah, you know, I was describing those two old people I saw in Durban yesterday. I was like, are they that old? Let me tell you how five-a-side soccer with the two people I had in mind would have taken 6 years.
not 20-year-olds. Let's say that. So that's allowed, and they are apparently from October starting to allow spectators at sports, but not full stadiums being opened. So they're opening for the soccer events. Apparently, only a couple of thousand people are allowed to go in social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also the Rome tennis tournament that happened a week ago, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And there they allowed, I think it was 1,000 people that were allowed to go and watch. But I saw pictures of it and it was, you know, very social distance, sporadic spacing.
Wow. So not full up yet. And obviously not allowed to be full.
No.
Okay.
No.
And what about work for you? I mean, are you going back into the office now like normal or are you still doing a lot of stuff from home?
Well, I've always sort of worked from home since I've been in Rome, so I've carried on doing that. But the majority of people that I know are half between the office and half at home. They looking probably from October, November, everyone going back into the office. But then I heard you talking about it earlier. There's this mention of a potential second wave. So they watch see how it's going to happen. You see, the problem is also schools never went back until last week.
Yeah.
So schools haven't been open since March. So parents, they've had to stay home and look after the kids at the same time. So I think they can only really get back into the office once the kids are back in full swing and at school.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of parents can't afford to, you know, have someone babysit the kids while they go to work. So unless the kids are at school, it's never going to happen. Yeah, it's hugely expensive. I mean, you were a babysitter, remember? That's the reason that you... You're a babysitter. That's the reason that you got out of Rome. So let's not mess around.
Stick to that story.
Yeah.
I wasn't in return for payment, I was given a house with a garden and food. So,
how nice. So where was this place that you went to on the coast? Sounds great.
So it's a place called Lavigno, which is probably, like I said, about an hour out of Rome. And it's, you know, the houses here are, well, in Rome is an apartment, but there it was a house, like a townhouse almost, that you would have in South Africa.
Right.
And they had a swimming pool. And the first 2 days I was there, we were allowed to still go to the beach. So we were able to go to the beach at least and get a bit of a walk around.
Did you say Livigno? That's the...
No, Livigno. So there's Livigno, which is the ski resort, and then Livigno, which is the one close to the sea.
Right.
Sort of just about 20 minutes from the airport side from Rome.
Okay. All right. Then that sounds quite nice. That's better than being in an apartment in Rome on your own.
I will be forever grateful to these people, all jokes aside. They took me in. I mean, I didn't know them very well. Her husband was kind enough to say it's fine. And we all got in like a house on fire. We made it work. We drank copious amounts of alcohol at night, mulling over the numbers and the rates and of things that were happening in the in the country and the economy, and having a good moan about it. But it was good to be around people. And then when we could go to the beach, we went to the beach. Then they stopped that, and then they actually had helicopters patrolling over the beach, so they were watching
seriously.
No, look, they took it seriously in certain areas. I mean, nothing happened serious in Rome. But so Rome, I was able to get out of. But in other places, they were definitely patrolling, and there were the helicopters. And outside of the house that we were staying in, there was a roadblock on a Sunday afternoon because the shops were all closed at a certain point. So you really had no reason to be outside of your house on a Sunday afternoon. So they were stopping any cars that were going by. So, they took it seriously there. It's easier to obviously manage in a small town than it is in a big city.
Wow. I'm glad you got out of town, and I'm glad you're still mentally healthy and sensible, because, I mean, a lot of people have gone crazy during this time, and not through any fault of their own. They've just been stuck somewhere and not necessarily connected to anybody. We were talking about this just before you came on.
Yeah, it's obviously been a rough time for me specifically, because I'm away from everything that's familiar. Having only just really moved overseas and not knowing anything, I thought to myself, if I get sick, what's the health system like? But, you know, fortunately, I've got friends that would have been kind enough to navigate that for me. But, for everybody, it's been a challenge. You know, no sleep for a couple of days, and you have no idea why you're not sleeping, and it's the mental stress playing the whole time.
Gina, the Italians generally, I mean, you said earlier that they don't often like to be told what to do. And your Italian is average, you said, to good. But has it improved during this time? Because you've obviously been, it's been a little bit of downtime. So maybe you could have spoken to more people and you were living with this family. Have you honed your skills in Italian?
Here's the thing. So the family that I stayed with, she's an ex-South African that's lived in Rome for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And she only speaks English to her kids. So the rule in that house is we only speak English. So her children at the age of four, that's their five now, are pretty fluent in English. And their English improved while I was there, actually, because all I did was speak English to them. That was the rule in the house. So we didn't speak much Italian, to be honest.
Sorry. So you still can't speak much?
I can get by, but when it comes to something complicated, I still stare at them. And I heard you guys talking earlier about not being able to understand somebody when you're talking with a mask. Try to do that when they're speaking another language with a dialect.
No, impossible. No, it's impossible, right?
You manage. You have no choice. Sure. You just carry on.
Do you drive when you're in Rome?
Hell no.
No,
have you seen the traffic yet?
Listen, I caught a taxi from the hotel I was staying at to somewhere near the Vatican. It was one of the most frightening drives of my life. Nigeria has nothing on the Italians in Rome. My God.
Really?
Oh, the Romans, they drive like maniacs.
Yeah, it's an experience. So, no, I don't drive. I walk everywhere or I take public transport, which has also been an interesting thing because, obviously, social distancing, they're only allowed a certain number of people on the buses or on the metro or trams. Mm-hmm. But you make do. Or I catch a taxi if it's somewhere far. Otherwise, there is no way I'm going to drive in this town.
No, it's absolutely
not. You have no interest at all.
No, it's dangerous, Sia. You don't understand. I mean, like, there's accidents all over the place. I saw two of them while I was walking around. Just people like bumping into each other, and then there's shouting and screaming and gesticulating, and you know, it's pretty
just
much
another day.
Yeah, it's just another day in Rome.
You know, I knew I was back in Rome when I came back from Livigno. I went to the supermarket the next day. people are crazy. And I went walking down the aisle, and you have your mask on, and they're controlling who's going into the shop, and, you know, they're doing everything. And I was walking down the aisle, and this woman just started shouting at me, "What are you doing? You're not supposed to walk past me. This is crazy. Don't you know that we've got a virus?" And I was like, "Geez, lady, relax. I'm just walking down the past you to go get some food." So then you know you're back in Rome when somebody shouts at you. Welcome home.
That sounds good.
So all far, right. I'm hearing a lot of similarities between South Africa and Italy.
It's maybe not as dissimilar as you think.
The police, the crazy people, it's home.
Yeah,
it's Rome, but you know, everyone says Rome's not very European. Look, if you go north of Italy, it's like works like a well-oiled machine. But Rome is a different animal. Completely.
Well, listen, thank you for talking to us this morning. It's good to catch up with you. And Gina, we spoke to you right at the beginning of lockdown. Do you think it's kind of over now? Do you think people have all gone back to normal and you can pretty much put this virus away? I mean, the second wave is all about testing, right? And that's where the spike's coming from, but it's not deaths.
It's not deaths, no. So in Italy, there has been a spike in numbers. I'm talking, we're now 1,000, 1,200 cases a day, maybe. But they're testing more people.
No.
So they're testing people coming in the airport. They're testing the surge in numbers came from people that particularly were coming from Sardinia, where they had gone for their holiday. Mm. So they were testing people as they were getting off at the port. But the deaths, I haven't heard much about the deaths at all. Look, I don't know what's going to happen when they start with when winter comes now, because the weather's turned and you can't sit outside anymore and more people are forced to be indoors.
Well, I'm glad you're okay, and thanks for updating us. It's always good to get a catch up, especially since the last time we spoke to you was right at the beginning of this craziness.
Yeah, can you believe it? Shush, and so much is the world is just crazy.
Yeah, I remember you telling us about like army trucks with coffins on them. I never forget.
No, but that's still a wake up call, and I still think to myself, you know, I was saying to Sia yesterday, and we had a brief chat. I said to him, depending on the day or the hour you ask me, I still don't know, is this worth it? Mm. Or, you know, is it a huge overreaction? And then I think about those things with the coffins and the army trucks, and then I think, geez, maybe it wasn't.
Yeah.
Who knows, but I'm just over it. And good luck, South Africa, for the mask acne that's coming your way in summer.
The mask acne.
We've already got it. We've been having it.
It's terrible. And if you know Rome, there's a huge amount of humidity here. Mm-hmm. Walking around with that, it's a delight. You've got something to look forward to.
Mask acne. Beautiful. All right. Well, that gives me another reason to not go anywhere where I have to wear a mask and just stay at home.
Gina said it with such spite.
No, she did. She's being mean. All right. Thanks, Gina.
Pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, cheers. There's Gina Luzzatto. She's in Rome. She listens to the show, and we caught up with her in March. We thought we'd just check in again. And she made it. She didn't die from COVID.
Phew.
Someone says, why don't we do a COVID death pool? Now, that would be really, that's from Dino. Dino's being really sensitive, obviously.
No.
We could lock in our monthly predictions for the coming worldwide death toll. And, you know, that was all the way back in March that Dino sent that to us. So if we had done it, I wonder if we would have been anywhere near the right number. For the number of deaths.
Well, which are the right numbers?
Yeah. So apparently the Malmesbury tremor that everyone was talking about, you know, that Cape Town earthquake that everyone's talking about, was unrelated to the one at sea. It was a mini quake on its own. There were two aftershocks from that. To be honest, the first time we thought our common neighbors were starting their crazy car that caused the shudder. And then someone sent a very funny picture of like one of those gifts. Someone clearly left their Nokia 3310 on vibrate in Cape Town. So not a lot of people taking that seriously. The UK is having the highest infection rates since the start of all this. But what is interesting is the low number of deaths compared to the first wave, even though there were less cases. That's an interesting point being made by Jared.
We were speaking about this yesterday. And I was with my
Leanne, you're very soft. Get closer to your laptop.
Well, this is as close as I can get to my mic. Is that better?
Sort of. It's very soft. Anyway, carry on.
So we were saying how Africans are, and South Africans are quite resilient when it comes to diseases like COVID.
Yeah.
And also we need to remember that antiretrovirals are being used to treat COVID in some areas. And 30% of South Africa's population is on antiretrovirals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, there's
is
a lot of
percentage.
Yes, I think so.
That's a lot of people.
I'm shocked.
Huh? Wow.
30%.
That was talk at the lunch table. So
sure.
I don't have the facts, but yes.
Oh, in other words, it's complete mole family hearsay. That's what that is.
Then by also, the way, you guys are talking about very serious things
Leanne,
for a Sunday afternoon lunch.
I drove over a river on my way to down to Durban, and it was called the Mole River. And I tried to take a picture of it, but I was driving, so I didn't get it.
That one has an E at the end.
No, M-O-L.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
I thought, wow, you've even got a river named after you. Look at you.
There we go.
So famous.
Yeah.
Or infamous.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right, here's another message, because there are lots of these coming through, and you can send them to us at 079-748-2090. Is it possible that the most vulnerable people have died in the first wave, therefore the high cases but low death rate for the second wave? Yes, it is possible. Again, most of the people who died in that first wave were very old people and people who had comorbidities. So, yeah, that's exactly right. Okay. I wonder if people are planning overseas holidays yet, because that's going to be a way off. I know we've spoken about this once or twice before, but it is really, really interesting. I think that there are lots of low-price holidays that are going to be up for grabs, and you know, they're going to try and attract tourists to all the places that used to be quite expensive, and they're going to need to lower their prices. I also wonder about those places in South Africa that are worth going on a little holiday to. Like this long weekend, lots of people did that.
Well, I didn't read much into this article, but I note it is of somewhat interest to you, Gareth, around some heritage sites around the world who are concerned about the upkeep of the sites and what they have within the sites, since there isn't any money coming in from, you know, tourism and people who are visiting. So some of these things are being eroded and not being taken care of because these places are losing out on money.
Yeah. So you need tourist feet to pay the money to keep the place, you know, running and to keep it looking
right,
decent, to keep everything conserved. And yes, absolutely. That's going to be a big problem. And a lot of these places made a huge amount of money before COVID came along. I mean, there were, you know, like you can imagine, like the Vatican, for example. They have to have thousands of people going through there every day. And that money that they make from the ticket sales goes to making sure that those statues don't, you know, fall down, that the roof is still painted, that they don't allow cracks in the walls to develop, that they can make sure that they look after the art. There's so much to do. And
yeah,
obviously, without.
And also just making sure that the bars are reinforced and the handcuffs are still bought and the whips and the chains. And
are you sure you're thinking about the Vatican or your weekend?
I think we're talking about the same Vatican, but anyway.
So listen, just because everybody's already asking, so Sia is in Durban because mom had a car accident, but she's okay.
What?
Oh,
yeah.
She's okay though, right?
It was a bit of a mess. And yeah, it happened on Saturday and she was driving with her friend. And look, my mother also has never been the best. She's had an unfortunate track record of car accidents. Her biggest one was in 2008 when she was driving. And she's actually never driven since.
Jesus.
So, yeah, as much as she's okay physically, well, you know, she wasn't banged up much. I was just concerned about her because she's a little rattled from that, you know, for someone who doesn't like driving at all. You know, her license has since expired. She just doesn't care for it at all. But yeah, so we're busy sorting that out. I just thought if I am still working from home and I have the luxury of doing that, I just want to check up on her.
Shame, man.
Yeah, it's
at least she wasn't physically harmed.
The worst thing about a car accident, and I've had a few of them too, so sounds like your mother and my track record's about the same. Is you replay that thing in your head over and over again, and it does you no good. It just makes you more anxious. You think, oh, well, what if I'd swerved, or what if I'd slowed down here, or what if I'd seen that, or, you know, you try and kind of relive it, and it's just not good for you. It spikes your adrenaline. You feel like shit, and it makes you nervous. Yeah.
And also just making sure you have your I's dotted and your T's crossed, man, just to make sure that everything is fine, because none of us were around when it happened. And so it's now trying to call my sister, who's in Pietermaritzburg, and my dad, who was in a meeting, and, you know, who can actually help out.
Yeah.
So,
you got the first call?
Pardon?
You got the first call?
No, I got a call from my sister.
Yeah.
Just to let me know. But even just in town, there wasn't anyone instantly who's available. So now, you know, we had this bit of a fight as a family ages ago about, you know, being on an emergency group together. And I was like, no, you guys just want to care about where I am, and I don't care about you guys. I need to live my own life.
Mm-hmm. But see, I don't know how useful you would be in a crisis. I must be honest with you. I'm trying to think. I mean, I know you can be very, no. You can be very responsible, and you usually have your shit together, but you also, you're a bit of a panicker. So
I would like to bring you into the Sangweni conversations that we were having over this weekend. People here, if you think I'm a loose cannon, you have not met everyone else. It is a shock to me how people lose their heads in panic. I just don't understand. So now, you know, like, my dad wants to go for therapy, and I'm thinking, oh, excuse me, this is not about you right now. You
know, he's traumatized?
He wants to go for therapy. My sister had an early night. She goes, I'm so overwhelmed. So overwhelmed. I just need to go to bed. She went to bed at like 6 p.m. yesterday.
Have we been unfair to you and by calling you the drama queen in your household?
Jeez, sounds like
in your family, it sounds like you might even be the stable one.
Completely.
Oh, jeez. That's terrible.
In that case, well done.
Yeah, well done.
Good.
All right, I take it back. You probably are the best person in that family to call in a crisis.
Now do you sort of get why I even wanted to be here in person?
You're gonna manage. Okay. You've got to manage all this craziness. My God.
Yeah, but and it's also funny since, you know, there aren't any remedies for a man who doesn't drink. But my dad says, I'm so stressed. Okay. I need rooibos with two tea bags. Okay.
Oh, that's your
equivalent of like a double whiskey, I guess.
Can you get him on some marijuana?
Yeah, I don't want to be responsible for that. No.
Well, maybe it's time he has one little drink.
Ooh. Also, don't want to be responsible for that. If they've made it, you know, 60 odd years without one, no.
All right, but your mom is, just so that everybody doesn't worry, your mom is being discharged from hospital and she's okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Listen to this. Apparently, if you get the Namola app, Namola, it's 60
yes,
rand a month.
I have it.
You have it, Leanne.
Yeah.
In fact, it's named after Leanne Namola app.
Yeah.
And it gets you armed response and ambulance. You can apparently also get this device. It does the same thing. It's not a phone. It has SIM and tracking and all the rest. So if you're really worried about your mom, that's a suggestion from somebody. Craig, thanks for that. Here's an interesting answer to the question that I asked just now about overseas travel. This is from Elaine. Elaine says, I've tried to arrange overseas travel for December, but you've got to read the T's and C's and you're buying an expensive gift voucher, not a holiday. There are too many variables at the moment. Cyril hasn't given us the list yet of which countries we can and can't go to. So we're still waiting for that.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is this can also change in a matter of weeks. You know, you could book in good faith and next month you find out that you're off the list again.
Right. Yeah, I suppose that's a very good point. Okay, so don't do any bookings for now. All right.
Yeah, not to sound bitter, but, you know, I was sort of gleeful over the past couple of months, thinking, yeah, well, we still have a travel voucher. I would say don't book anything now, because for my holiday that I was meant to go.
Yeah, where were you going?
Brazil and Argentina.
See, that I would be furious. You're allowed to be bitter. I would furious if I'd paid for a ticket to go to Brazil and Argentina, and then they just told me it's gone.
It was the whole package and the whole, you know, we booked through an agency that is now shut down and they aren't filing for business rescue. So, you know, we're a whole bunch of us aren't going to get our money back. So I wouldn't risk it just yet.
I would be furious. I'm surprised you're as calm as you are. I take back all the drama queen comment.
I could have been living my best life in Sao Paulo. Oh, I could have married Alejandro by now.
Where were you? When in the year were you going to go?
It was around June 16. So I remember we weren't going to be here for that public holiday.
I would have been. Oh, you must be so angry. Listen, they'll figure it out, right? Have they given you any communications about what happens to your tickets and your?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing whatsoever. The South African division of this global company now has shut down their website. They only have one page on the site the last time I visited, which was just their statement. No one's picking up calls. No one's returning emails.
So, Sia, and so now did you pay in full? You paid in full for the whole thing?
Yeah, I did.
Oh.
And then this is what caused another bit of a fight within the family, because I was going to go with my sister and she only paid a fraction. I understand that she's so relieved, but she goes, I am so glad I only lost a couple of thousand rands. Imagine if I paid everything. Like, imagine those people. And I'm like, hello, I am those
right
people.
Here.
You know, I wouldn't know what to do with myself right now.
No, I feel sorry for you. That's terrible.
Yeah.
All right. Oh. Okay. Have a happy day, everybody. We will see you tomorrow, bright and early at 6 o'clock. Have a happy day, ass.
You too. See you soon.
All right.
Have a happy day, Gareth.
CliffCentral.com. Through the course of your week, you can find all the best podcasts and get stuck into the new season of Blind History, which started last weekend. No, it started the week before
last
that.
Last week, Tuesday.
Last week, Tuesday. Was it last week that we started the whole new season? Okay.
We started last week.
This week, sorry. Yes, because this week is George Washington. Yeah. So
today's Monday, the beginning of a week.
Yes, thank you. I'm very confused after a long weekend. Give me a break.
Next episode is tomorrow.
I spent 9 hours driving yesterday. I can hardly sit. All right, I'll speak to you later. Cool, everybody. Be good. CliffCentral.com.